Welcome to the 2-4 iTunes approved podcast. I'm Zach Vanoss. With me, Sean O'Neill.
Yeah, it's 9:54 on a Wednesday evening, and a good time to be doing the podcast because the Habs just finished just demolishing the Carolina Hurricanes 4-0 final score. We were going to do the podcast last night. We ended up delaying it, doing it tonight, and
I think it's
pretty
better
good timing.
Yeah, I think so. I think so too. We'll be in a better mood for it.
Certainly. I mean, that was, you could argue that was the most impressive game the Habs have played start to finish all season long.
I don't even think there's an argument there.
No, I mean, I'd have to go through the schedule. They looked really good. They were just absolutely dominant.
No, that was a great game. Carey Price gets his first shutout of the season. P.K. Subban with his first goal of the year. And I can't think of... This is the first game I've watched where I have no complaints. Literally zero complaints.
No, they looked great. And, you know, especially because everyone was concerned heading into the game about the lack of depth on defense, but that wasn't an issue. Nothing was an issue. I mean, Carolina just looked really flat. But I mean, it was more really, I think, just Montreal looked great. I mean, Carolina did look flat, but Montreal was really dominant in every facet of the game.
I can't believe they got a shutout.
Yeah, I mean, against a pretty good
look at that blue line. That's a blue line that comes up with a shutout. I mean, Carey didn't have to make a ton of saves. I'm gonna take it.
Yeah, me too.
All right, I'm excited. Feel good. You want to jump right in then?
Let's.
All right, this is the opening 20. Question number one. I'll let you fire it off.
Number one, Habs losing in a shootout the other night to Buffalo.
Yep.
Should Thomas Plekanec be taking shots in the shootout?
No. I said
not
this
at
when
all?
I no. I said, well, yeah. If you go to 8 shooters. I was watching the game, and I said, and I couldn't believe that he was taking the shot. And I understand why, because I love Plex. I really do. I think he's the best all-around player on the team, and we're not the same team without him. But he shouldn't be taking shots in a shootout because he's not good at it. I don't care what he does the rest of the time. In the shootout, you look at his numbers, they aren't good. And you even look at him on a breakaway. He's not one of those. That's not where he excels. So, no, I don't think, if you're only putting 3 shooters out there, I don't think Thomas Plekanec should be one of them.
Fair enough. I mean, the thing with shootout numbers is, you know, it's a really small sample size, but Plex is more of a playmaker than he is a sniper. He's not great in the open ice.
He's very average in the open ice.
He is. I'd keep him in the rotation. You know, I think there's sort of 7-8 guys you can consider, but he wouldn't be one of my top 3 options.
You have to have your best 3. If you got 3 shooters, you got to start with your best guy and go 1-2-3 like that. And for Plex to be the first guy or second guy is ridiculous. Those have to be your best 2. And like you say, it's a small sample size. It's hard to say who should be doing it. But I'm my arguments for Pacioretty and Camilleri have to be. I mean, I know Camilleri wasn't an option there, but Camilleri and Patches have to be your top 2 guys every time.
Yeah, I would say so. I do favor mixing it up a little bit, but
never.
Yeah, I mean, Plex hasn't looked great. He wouldn't certainly be at the top of my list.
No, I just don't think in a shootout he's the guy. We'll stick with the shootout here. Should it go to 5 players instead of 3?
They do 5, obviously, in international hockey. I'm okay with 3. I don't really have a strong opinion on this one way or the other. You know, I hated the shootout rule itself when they first introduced it. I've grown to be okay with it. Honestly, I don't really care whether they go 3 or 5. I think 3 is fine, though.
I like 5. I think I see no reason. I mean, we've stuck around for this long. We're watching the whole game. 2 extra shooters, I feel, gives it more of a team feel for one. And 5 shooters just, I don't know, there's something, you know, there's 5 skaters on the ice at any given time. 5 shooters feels right. It allows you to get behind a goal and not need your next guy to score, or it's essentially over. I think 5. If we're going to go to the shootout, if we're going to accept that this is a thing, and it seems to be that the NHL is accepting that the shootout's going to happen, and like you, I've come around to it, I would still prefer to see 5 shooters. I think that's a better way to decide the game if it's going to come down to a skills competition.
Yeah, you know, those are good points, and I think
I know that. What do you think? I come on here making bad points?
Well, I'm not saying I'm surprised. I'm just you've won me over.
It's not the first time.
No, it's not. Won't be the last either.
I hope not. There's some good questions, and I got some good arguments coming up. Can you hear my clinky? Yeah. Do you hear my clinky?
I do hear your clinky.
It's a victory beverage.
Yeah, well, we've got the explicit label on iTunes, so exactly. I think that entitles us to drink while we do the podcast.
We named it the 2-4 with full intentions of drinking while we did it.
Oh, of course. So, and I hope everyone who's listening to this is drinking while they listen to it.
Unless you're driving. Then pull over, get out of the car, and drink. And then hitchhike the rest of the way.
There you go.
Are we wasting time because we got nothing left on 5 versus 3?
I can neither.
We're just going to coast until the bell right now.
All right. Am I up?
You're up.
Number 3. Are the Buffalo Sabres in trouble without Ryan Miller?
My tendency would be to say yes, but they've seemed fine without him, and his name escapes me now because he's played about 6 games, but he's looked very good.
Enroth.
Is that his name?
I believe so.
All right. I don't think they're in that much trouble if Miller comes back in the next couple weeks. After that, then you've got yourself in a slightly different territory.
Yeah, I mean, we forget because he had a bit of a down season last year, but you know, there was a time where Miller was the best goalie in the world, pretty hands down.
I'd say he's still the top three.
Yeah, I'd put him in top 3-5 in the NHL. And I, like you said, Enroth has looked really good, and he is, you know, he's been a pretty hot prospect for a while. But you don't lose your best player. You don't lose one of the top 5 goalies in the league without taking a hit.
And, quite literally.
You know, it's interesting because last week we talked about how many teams in the Northeast were going to make the playoffs, and a lot's happened since then. I mean, Boston looks like Boston again.
Yeah.
But, you know, Toronto's starting to tank. Now Miller's...
I think you mean Toronto looks like Toronto again.
Yeah, exactly. Toronto looks like Toronto again. Ottawa looks like Ottawa again after that little weird mirage early in the season. And now Buffalo's without their best player for who knows how long. So things have gotten pretty interesting in the Northeast over the last week or 10 days.
Well, it's safe to say, I mean, if you're ranking the Northeast based on, let's say, the last 10 days, I mean, Boston's obviously the best team again. What are they on? 6-game winning streak at this point. And then you're looking at Montreal at 7-2-1 since the Perry Pern firing. You'd have to put them in at number 2. So you're almost doing a flip in terms of the standings in the Northeast right now. It's all over the place. But Miller throws a huge question mark in. So are they in trouble? No. But I think without Miller, there's a lot more questions for the Buffalo Sabres. Because him backstopping was one of the reasons I think a lot of people had them being perhaps even the best team in the Northeast. My turn?
Your turn.
Is that what you were waiting on?
That's what I was waiting on. I got nothing to add.
All right. Speaking of Miller.
Yeah.
Did Milan Lucic deserve to be suspended for that hit?
I think he probably should have gotten a game.
Yeah.
I'm not quite as bloodthirsty about it as some people were, because Miller was about 30 feet outside of his net. So I think it is fair game there to a certain extent. But he did take a run of it, and his elbow did go up. I think he should have gotten a game. I don't think it was the cheap shot to end all cheap shots, but I do think it was, you know, borderline. And I think if you're trying to send a message, yeah, you give.
That's exactly it. I mean, Mike Komisarek and Milan Lucic, without question, are the two guys I despise the most in the National Hockey League. That being said, I also think when goalies wander out of their crease, they're fair game. But fair game for a check. Fair game to run into them. Fair game. Milan Lucic ran at him. His stick wasn't on the ice. I'm with you. I think a game for a message that you can't be running these guys like that. Although, like I've said before, I think Buffalo's reaction was far more telling than anything that happened between Lucic and Miller. But, yeah, one game I think was a reasonable suspension so that Shanahan doesn't find himself with the case of, yeah, it's open season on goalies now. Run them all you want as long as they're out of the paint. But I would like to see goalies, if they decide to wander, you can touch them, but I don't think you should be able to go at them full speed, hit them the way Lucic hit Miller, and have no repercussions. I mean, I think to some degree you have to protect them. They're clearly a different player than anyone else on the ice. That, you know, it's the same as a quarterback in the NFL. There's different rules protecting them. So you shouldn't be able to do what Lucic did. I'd give him a game to say that, but at the same time, I don't think Lucic should have taken more than a game, because I do want to see the goalies still be players out there if they decide to wander.
Exactly. Number five, how many goals do you see Mike Camilleri scoring this season?
They got another tonight. I'm going with wishful choice 30.
That sounds about right. I'm not too worried about Cammy. I think he'll finish with his usual, you know, somewhere between 28 and 35, provided he stays healthy.
19 last season.
He missed a lot of games, though.
I know. Just throwing it out there, he could still miss games. How many games he's already missed?
Yeah, fair enough. But, you know, he's off to a slow start, but he's been injured, and he's always hot and cold. Yeah. And, you know, I think he puts it together. I think he goes on one of those hot streaks of his where he scores 8 goals in 6 games. And I think high 20s, low 30s sounds about right. Low 30s might be pushing it at this point, but I think he'll at least hit the 25-goal mark.
I think so, too. I mean, it depends on where this team goes and style of hockey, how much they decide to open it up the rest of the way. But we forget, I think, just because of the injuries last season and the fact that he hasn't exactly been insane during the regular season since he's been in Montreal. But, I mean, this is a guy who led all NHL playoffs in scoring, as far as goal scoring, and the Habs played one less round than the two teams that made it. When he lights it up, he can light it up. And the fact that he's off to a slow start isn't shocking. I think he's probably one of the most hot and cold players in the NHL right now. I think 30 is a reasonable kind of over-under mark. You can choose which way to go. I would choose the under at about 28, 29. But I've started to see some rumblings about people thinking Camilleri doesn't have it anymore, and I just can't agree with that.
No, neither can I. I can't imagine anyone would want to take back that signing. Maybe he hasn't, you know, we're still waiting for that 1 year where everything clicks and he hits that 40-goal plateau, maybe, but
you think he'll hit it with Montreal?
He has it in him if he stays healthy.
Yeah, exactly. That's the big if, though. All right. Number six. When do you expect to see Markov return?
I will try and answer this.
Between our podcast and the radio show we used to have, we've been answering this question for 3 years now.
Yeah, we should just... This is a, like...
Just weekly?
Even just once a weekly he's back, question. Not even a running joke, just a running segment.
Once he's back, we'll switch. When do you expect to see Markov out of the lineup again?
I'll try and answer this diplomatically and not snarky, because I'm in a good mood because we just won. He's back on the ice. He's training. He's been pretty coy about setting an actual return date. I think it's obvious that he's still a ways away. He's not ready to step on the ice tomorrow against New York. I would expect to see him back before the end of the month.
I think that's fair. He's practicing with the team, which, I mean, it's not exactly means he's back tomorrow, but considering everything that the team has gone through with Markov and this injury, when was the last time he was practicing with the team? So the fact that he's out there with the team, yeah, he's still not taking hits and whatnot, but I think before December is a reasonable wager. I would put money, if I'm taking the over-under, I'm going to take the under on December 1st. I say we see him probably in the final week of the month. So, you know, I guess we're looking at 10 or 12 days, which, can you believe we might be having the Markov is back conversation by the next time we do this podcast?
Certainly possible.
It is possible. Segway.
Segway, number seven. When do you expect to see Sidney Crosby return?
About the same time as Markov, I'd say.
Yeah.
I think we're looking at we're about a week or a week and a half away.
Yeah, I expected him back by now.
Yeah, same here.
There was a lot of chatter that he'd be back by last weekend. Obviously, that wasn't the case. Yeah, I mean, I expected him to be back. I guess December 1st sounds like a reasonable date. And, you know, they're being careful with him for obvious reason. And even myself as a fan, I have to sort of, you know, I hear the news that he's not back, and my first instinct is to sort of roll my eyes and say, let's get this over with, like, just step on the ice. But I realize it's a new sport. We're much more aware of head injuries and concussions and that type of thing, and I have to stop myself from thinking that way. But it has been frustrating just as a hockey fan not to have him out there. But, you know, hopefully he gets over those post-concussion syndromes soon. I think December 1st is a rule. as reasonable a date as any.
If he's any other player, he's back at this point, though.
I would think so, yeah.
On the other hand, I don't blame the Penguins for doing what they're doing. I mean, come on. Oh, the Penguins are clearly a talented team with or without Crosby. He takes them to the next level. The foreseeable future of this franchise is Sidney Crosby. If it takes an extra week or two, yeah, just make sure you take every precaution as we're learning more and more about concussions. I understand why they're taking the time they're taking. On the other hand, I'm like you. I want to see him back on the ice because, love him or not, Sidney Crosby is a fantastic player. It's amazing to watch what he has. And he got hurt at such an inopportune time. I mean, he was having one of the great seasons we'd seen in recent NHL memory. So I'm excited to see him back. But I think, like Markov, I think a decent date is around the 1st of December. We can expect to maybe see him back at that point. All right, switching over, is Max Pacioretty, and I can't believe if you told me a year ago that we'd be talking about this right now is a reasonable question, is Max Pacioretty the best forward the Habs have?
It's interesting. He's been the best forward on the Habs team so far this season.
There's no arguing that.
Now, if I was, doing a fantasy draft and building a team from scratch, would he be the first forward I'd pick? Probably not.
Who would you take ahead of him?
I'd probably go with Cammy.
I like the way you voiced that question. If you're doing a fantasy draft and you can take, you're taking the Habs, you're not taking Patches first. You're taking Cammy.
I still think I'd go with Cammy if I have one guy I want to build around for the next today. 5 years, but it's...
No, fantasy draft. One season, you get your
just
guys.
Just for this,
yeah,
just for this year?
We're doing a fantasy season this year, and we're doing it today. We're drafting today. Who do you take?
I'll still go with Camilleri, but it's 1A and 1B for me.
I'm taking Pacioretty.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with that. He's been...
Well, you should have taken him. Luckily, now I got him. Look at all the points that I'm racking up in my fake fantasy. The saddest fantasy team you can have. No, I think I would take Max Pacioretty at this point. I think Patches is going to finish with more goals. As we were talking about earlier, how many goals is Cammy going to score this season? I think Patches has more than Cammy by season's end.
Yeah, I mean, he's opened up a pretty nice head start at the very least. But he's been great. I mean, like I said, there's no doubt he's been the best forward. You maybe make an argument for Plekke, but I think it's pretty clear-cut that he's been the best forward so far.
Okay, you can make an argument for Plekke in a non-fantasy situation. If you're just strictly building a team, then yeah. Plekanec is, probably I'm going to take Plekanec over Pacioretty if you're literally just building a team. But in terms of goal-scoring ability, in terms of guys I'm excited when the puck's on his stick this year, I'm going to give me Patches. I can't believe, after everything that happened, I can't believe that he's picked up exactly, literally exactly where he left off before Chara nearly killed him.
It's been incredible. He's been playing with a chip on his shoulder. And, the fact that we got him and Georges for Craig Rivé is, I think, the best move Bob Gainey ever made.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
And now, speaking of the worst move Bob Gainey ever made, question number 9.
That's not even debatable at this point, is it?
Oh, God, no. I mean, Ribeiro for Yanni Nienemo wasn't a shining moment either, but...
Oh, Nienemo is good. Do I remember incorrectly? Nienemo didn't cost $7 million a year.
Yeah, that's a good point. We're getting off topic. Number 9, will Scott Gomez finish with more points this season than Travis Moen? I butchered the wording of that question, but you get the point.
Well, Travis Moen, first and foremost, I think I suggested the question for this be over under 50 goals for Travis Moen, but you decided to go a shyer way about things. I mean, tonight's goal for Travis Moen was a typical Travis Moen goal. One of the usually 6 he gets in the year that just somehow find their way into the net. On the other hand, it was Travis Moen's 6 of the year, and as I'm watching between the periods, I see Ilya Kovalchuk has 3 goals this year, and Zach Parise has 6, putting Travis Moen at twice as much as Kovalchuk and on pace with Parise. So I think, considering Gomez hasn't done anything yet, I'm taking Moen.
I like it. I want to take Moen. If I was a betting man, I'd still think that Gomez somehow finishes with 35 points or something.
Moen keeps doing it. Every third or night or so, Moen ends up doing it.
Yeah, I know.
I keep expecting it to stop.
I do too. I mean,
yeah,
look,
but I expected it to stop after the first goal, and now it's up to 6. He's tied last season.
Yeah. No, he's been really good.
I know. That's what I'm trying to tell you. What is his nickname? Not the one we've given him. Were they calling him Snipes on the team? No, I think that's what I've heard.
I believe it, and if not, that's something we should try.
We'll try and make it happen.
Propagate from this point forward.
All right. This one's on me. I won't mess the wording up because I'm a pro. Will the NHL benefit from there being no NBA season, which looks like it's a pretty good chance of happening right now?
Yeah, there's a strong possibility. It's interesting. I've read, you know, articles and studies that have seemed to indicate that that's...
You've not... read articles and studies?
There have been studies, though.
What are these studies?
Yeah, and, you know, economists and stuff have said that it's actually not the case, but at least... common sense-wise, you'd think that they get a little bit of a bump, at least. Because even in the major American cities that like hockey, you know, Philly, New York, Boston, Minneapolis, the NHL is usually still a pretty decent number two to the NBA from October through May. But, you know, those... when the news comes on at 11 and they have the sports section, they're going to have to lead off with something. And if the Bulls aren't playing, they're going to lead off with the Blackhawks.
Well, I wrote about this. Sorry, go ahead.
I just, you know, I think at the local level, it's going to... it has to generate some interest among the casual fan who's looking for something to do.
Well, that's exactly what I is. That makes sense. What I was saying is, take PTI, for example. I've seen hockey discussed way more on PTI already this year than any other year that I've been watching, simply because they've got to fill it with something. And yes, they're going to talk about the NBA strike, but once the NBA strike becomes... full-fledged, and the fact is they're not coming back, you run out of topics, and you've got to start ESPN with sports highlights. SportsCenter's got to start in the morning with game highlights. NFL only gets to do it once a week, so what else are you going to fill your slot with? You've got to come with the NHL. I think it's got to benefit to some degree. To what degree? It depends on how, you know, I think that's going to depend city to city, but it can't hurt the NHL.
No, exactly.
All right, that's it. That's our opening. Good opening 20, I think.
Yeah, it was good for me.
All right, good. I'm glad to hear that. All right, let's get in the fact here. And this is not to go back to the blame Pern thing. I'm just using that, and I think all Habs fans are going to be using the Pern firing as a turn point in the season. And we talked about this on our last podcast, whether or not the real team was the team that was 4-0 past Pern or the team before that. But I think we've got a better picture of the team since then. 7-2-1 is now the record since that atrocious start. That's not bad.
No, it's not bad at all. It's been that's a really good record over 10 games. And it's been a little sneaky because he had that
7-2-1
makes
9, but, you know, whatever.
7-2-1?
You know what? It makes 10.
That makes 10.
Never mind. I'm going to edit that part out.
I'd prefer if you didn't. It's been a bit sneaky because he had that four game win streak. Then they lose 2 in a row, and you start to think, oh, okay, you know, they got that mini boost, but they're sort of back. They're struggling. Then they, you know, they lose that heartbreaker to Buffalo, but now they win again tonight. They look really convincing, and then all of a sudden, hey, we've gotten 15 points out of 20. And do I expect them to keep up that pace for the rest of the season? Obviously not. But I thought from the beginning of the season that this was a surefire playoff team and a borderline contender in the East. And I think that's what we're seeing right now is a talented team that maybe they're playing a bit above their heads right now, but this is the team they are, not the team that started off looking like one of the worst teams in the NHL.
Okay, playing a bit above their heads, and I mean, tonight they look fantastic. But tonight they still were without some of the key players that we expect going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I say playing above their heads just because, you know, the points that they're racking up, I don't think that they can continue that. But you look at the roster, there's no one except for maybe Moen, who you expect to slow down dramatically. And then Markov should be coming back.
I don't expect Moen to slow down at all.
Fair enough.
I'm looking at 35 for Moen.
And, you know, maybe Patches slows down a little, but it's not like the team's playing above their heads in the sense that there's guys that you just know aren't going to be able to keep this up.
Well, the way Toronto started, I mean, and this isn't a Montreal fan harping on Toronto, it's fair to say Toronto is playing way above their heads at the beginning of the season. And I don't feel that Montreal now at 7-2-1 in these past 10 games, math I can easily do, is out of their reach. I mean, guys have been contributing at levels that we've seen them contribute before. Carey's playing the kind of goaltending we've seen him capable of. And I mean, tonight with the first shutout, it wasn't exactly a tough shutout because the team dominated from beginning to end. 7-2-1 the rest of the way, the same percentage? No. But I do feel good about this team. I feel like this is... we're seeing the team I expected to see, like you said, before the season when we thought they were a definite playoff team and, you know, a piece or two away from being a contender.
Yeah, and Toronto's a perfect comparison because I think everyone knew that unless Phil Kessel, you know, finished the season with 105 goals, that they weren't going to...
He's still sort of on pace.
Yeah, he is. But everyone, you know, it was easy to see that slump coming. Whereas, as you said, with Montreal, there's no one really playing out of their minds. Just the team's playing well. They're getting, you know, all four lines are chipping in. Carey's playing great. The defense, despite being decimated by injuries, has, you know, held up their end of the bargain. And, yeah, this is the team I expected to see.
I think it's safe to say absolutely no one on the team is playing out of their skill level to a place you can't see it continuing to some degree throughout the season.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And with some guys, you can expect to maybe pick it up even.
Yeah, exactly. Cammy's going to heat up at some point. PK, I think, is going to have a very strong second half. Markov
might
is expected
play
back soon. Campoli may be back at some point. You know, there's other young guys who might get better. I mean, they might hit the wall, but they might get better in the second half, guys like Diaz and Yemlin. So there's reason for optimism, that's for sure.
All right, let's switch gears. Let's go to the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame inductions taking place over the weekend in the center of the universe. Four people in this year's class: Joe Nieuwendyk, Crazy Ed Belfour, Dougie Gilmore, former Hab Dougie Gilmore, and Mark Howe.
Yeah, that last one. I'm not against it. It wasn't a name I was as familiar with as other guys, let's say.
Same here, and it was, I guess, a bit before both of our eras.
Yeah.
So I can't judge him maybe as well. The other three to me were no-brainers. I mean, Nieuwendyk was an absolute no-brainer. Belfour on the ice was an absolute no-brainer, and I don't think you should really deduct points for the fact that he was insane.
Well, no. I mean, when you judge sports, I know when players are in the midst of their careers, what happens on and off the ice matters, but I don't think we can judge Belfour for on and off the ice. When it comes to the Hall of Fame, it's only about what happened on the ice.
Yeah, I agree. And then Doug Gilmore was maybe a bit more of a borderline case, but I would have voted for him, you know, if I had a hypothetical.
I don't know that Doug Gilmore was a borderline case. I mean, he played in the Gretzky era, and if Gretzky didn't exist, Gilmore would arguably be the best forward of his time.
Maybe.
You
yeah,
think that's overselling it?
I think that's overselling it a bit, but I mean, you know, nonetheless, whichever way you want to look at it, there's some debate, but I think most people are pretty confident that Doug Gilmore is a Hall of Fame player.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have a problem with it, and I don't imagine too many people do.
And there's very few Leafs captains who I'm cool with doing that.
Sorry?
I said there's very few Leafs captains I'm cool with putting in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, fair enough. But a pretty decent class, all things considered, especially after last year's class, which was probably the weakest in the history of the Hockey Hall of Fame.
The weakest Hall of Fame class. It feels a bit like it doesn't make sense.
But it was what Dino Cicerelli and then some builders and stuff? And,
yeah. Oh, no, it was. It's just a weird statement, the weakest Hall of Fame class.
Yeah, it is. But that's this year's class. And then if we look on the horizon, let's give the thumbs up, thumbs down to a couple of the guys that
my thumbs is ready.
Looking at next year, in the next couple of years. Pavel Bure, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up. Pavel Bure, at certain points in an NHL career, was my favorite guy playing the game. Pavel Bure has the numbers. He has everything that you would... I mean, if you're putting half these guys that are in there, then Pavel Bure should be a no-brainer. I don't know why he's not in right now.
I'm on the fence about Bure. I would tend to go thumbs down.
No, you got... Okay, listen. Allow me to make one more argument. If you're on the fence about Bure, which you say you are, then remember that he got Kournikova. Hall of Fame material.
Fair enough. That is a good point. Exactly. That might put him over the top. I know the numbers are there, and maybe I'm being unfair just because I remember Pavel Bure being so great at the beginning of his career and then just sulking his way out of Vancouver and being very mediocre in Florida and going to New York and not doing much and just kind of seeing him being like a giant waste of talent for the second half of his career. So I don't know whether that's fair or not to hold that against him, because like you said, the numbers probably are there. He had a couple of 50-goal seasons, had a couple of 60-goal seasons, I think.
He's the only guy to lead the NHL in goals, I believe, in three separate seasons. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure three seasons he led the NHL in goal and is not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and I do think that the bar for the Hall has been set too low.
Yeah, the Hockey Hall of Fame is, you're right. You're right about that.
I think it's been set too low, so I don't really care about those numbers. About, you know, all these guys are in, so we have to put this guy in too. I think the Hall would be well served by raising the bar a little bit. But, yeah, I think the argument I'm making against Bure is more of an emotional one, and I think if you do look at it objectively, you're probably right. He does deserve to be in there.
All right, let's switch gears. I like where you're going with this, though. Let's say the Hockey Hall of Fame isn't the Hockey Hall of Fame, and let's say it has the same standards as the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, which is the hardest to get into by far.
Yes, but shouldn't it be? Shouldn't the Hall of Fame be difficult to get into?
It should. It should be the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Very Good. And there's a lot of really, really, really good players who aren't quite Hall of Fame material.
Yep.
And that's not an insult.
No.
That's just saying that you're not one of the top 1% to ever play the sport.
Because if you're talking Baseball Hall of Fame, then I think you have a good argument to make about Bure. And I think you have a good argument to make even about Gilmore.
Yeah, but for hockey, maybe it's been really inclusive. And, you know, on the one hand, I think they should try and reverse that. But on the second hand, that's a really hard thing to do once you've already set this precedent.
No, but I'm saying you got to choose one side or the other. Are we going with the Hockey Hall of Fame's the Hockey Hall of Fame? Or are you trying to raise the bar? Because you got to choose one side or the other with Bure.
I would prefer that they raise the bar, personally. I think the bar's been set too low.
All right.
And, you know, nothing against Dino Cicerelli, but he is not a Hall of Famer.
Well, also the era he played in. I mean, everybody had that. Well, not everybody, clearly, but it wasn't as hard to score as many goals as Cicerelli scored in the 1980s in the NHL.
No, exactly. Looking at a couple of other guys who are on the horizon, Matt Sundin, thumbs up, thumbs down?
Thumbs up. I picked two Leafs captains. Moving out of this city.
I'm going to go thumbs down on him, too. I mean, I know he's got the numbers. So, he's got the longevity.
But this speaks back to you trying to set the bar higher.
Yeah.
Okay.
But even I would even argue that even by current standards, I'm not entirely sure Matt Sundin's a Hall of Famer. He was really good and really consistent for a long time. But was he ever one of the top 15 players in the NHL?
You're right.
For any one or two season stretch. And I think if you can't even put that on your resume, you're not a Hall of Famer.
I think you shouldn't. If there's no season, and you know what? You're changing my mind on this. You're right. If there's no season in which you were the top three, well, not no season, but if you can't say at any point you were reasonably considered by most people to be one of the top three guys at your position, you're probably not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and I guess I'm being a bit inconsistent. So if I'm going to use that standard, then Pavel Bure was clearly one of the top players in the league for a couple of seasons. So
Bure should be there before
Sundin. So Bure's in. I switch my vote on Bure, but I say thumbs down to Sundin.
You switch me too. I'm reversing my decision no on Sundin.
Next up we have, and I can't imagine either of us would say no to this guy, Joe Sakic.
Well, no, Sakic.
I mean, no, he's a clear-cut Hall of Famer. Yeah. Brendan Shanahan, I would think, would be a clear-cut Hall of Famer as well.
Yeah, for sure.
And then one other guy who's on the list, pretty interesting, Eric Lindros.
He revolutionized the position. But I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's really tough. You know, he was my favorite player as a kid for whatever reason, which looking back on seems bizarre for so many reasons.
I didn't know that.
What's that?
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah.
This changes our whole friendship.
Oh, I know. Fair enough. I loved the guy as a kid. I think he was absolutely dominant at his apex. And like you said, did change the game in a lot of ways. Career cut short by injuries. Don't know if he has the longevity. He never quite fulfilled his potential, even if that wasn't entirely his fault.
Which is an argument you can make about Bure.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I would probably lean no. My gut wants to say yes, but it's hard to look at his career and say he's a surefire Hall of Famer. I think he gets in.
Yeah.
If I was a betting man, but
yeah no. If you're looking at what is going to happen, I'd say he gets in.
I think Sundin gets in too. Yeah, me too. I think all the guys we mentioned get in. And then looking at the rest of the list, a couple other interesting candidates on the horizon. Chris Osgood, is he Hall of Famer for you? He is in the top five, I believe, all time in career wins.
Yeah, no, I've heard this argument since he retired, but I've got to be honest. Chris Osgood is not a Hall of Famer for me. Like, let's go back to the argument, were you ever the top three at your position in any given season? The answer is no for Chris Osgood, so no.
No, and not even close. And
no, exactly.
I know he won the Cups. I know he won the games.
Yeah, but with a significantly strong team in front of him.
Yeah, exactly. And no. I mean, for me, I mean, just he didn't pass the eye test. I watched Chris Osgood, and he was fine. You know, he was good, very good on some occasions, but he let in a lot of weak goals, too, and he had a great team in front of him, and he was never, ever, ever dumb.
I mean, can you imagine... Okay, Patrick was maybe the best goalie ever, so let's not say him. But can you imagine any of the elite goalies of that era playing for Detroit, and what would have become of that? I mean, Osgood just feels like the right guy in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, I agree. So, I think we're both on the same page on him.
But I still think he'll get in.
I don't know if he'll get in. I don't get the sense that there's a whole lot of support for him.
All right.
We'll see. Dave Andrychuk, thumbs up, thumbs down?
No.
No, I agree. Another guy who at least started his career in a really offensive era, had a really good long career, you know, consistently put up 25 goals, and then you look at his stats when all is said and done, and he has 600 career goals. But I'm not even sure how many all-star teams he made, let alone, you know, Hart Trophy votes. And another guy who just... I saw him play, and he was, you know, a nice piece. I would have loved to have him on the Habs, but wasn't a Hall of Famer to me.
That's fair. He's of that era.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of guys of that era who, you know, it's not their fault. That's the era that they played in, but yeah. Their stats are really inflated.
Yeah. I mean, it's like anybody who played in the steroid era of baseball, and not that they're really comparable, but at the same time, you can't go, oh, he did this in this season thereby making him a Hall of Famer. Different eras mean different things, and guys who played when, you know, if you scored 25 goals a year, you were still a second or third liner, and eventually it adds up to 600. I don't think you're a Hall of Famer.
And then this is the only other question we were sort of throwing back and forth when we were preparing for the podcast. You look at the Habs roster right now. Anyone on the Habs roster going to make the Hall of Fame?
Going to? As if, yes. I would say this guy's a surefire?
Not a surefire, because obviously I don't think there's anyone on the roster who is, but if we took the DeLorean and revved it up to 88 miles an hour and transported ourselves to Toronto in the year 2050, any of the plaques on the wall?
I think there's a chance for two of them, and I'm going to leave it to you to guess which two. I'm sure you're going to be right.
I would assume Carey Price would be one of them, and I would agree with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then... I mean, the only other one who probably has Hall of Fame potential is PK.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not saying they're Hall of Famers before anyone jumps down a throat. I'm saying if we're picking two guys, and it's easy to choose them because they're very early in both their respective careers, but if there's two guys who have a chance, it's Subban and Price.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I'm not even entirely sure what the benchmark is for coaches. Martin coaches another 10 years and wins another, whatever that works out to, 500 games, then, you know, maybe he's somehow in the discussion just by the sheer force of being around for a long time.
I think Martin's on his final job in the NHL. Unless the Habs win under him, win a Stanley Cup, I think this is it.
Yeah, you may be right.
So, no.
Gianta, Hall of Famer?
No.
No.
Scott Gomez, Hall of Famer. Hall of Fame robbery. Eh, man, we'll talk about Gomez. Hal Gill.
Hal Gill. Old skillsy.
Prior to this season, I would have said no to Travis Mowen, but now I don't know.
He's making a late push. He's
late career push for the Hall of Fame. All right, let's wrap this section up, and I'm going to go talk. This week, our 5 minutes for fighting is not at all for fighting. We're talking to one of our own contributors, one of our writers, Steph Darwish. We'll talk to her. There'll be no fights, although there hasn't been fights when we've talked to people who blog about other things. Then we'll come back and we'll look at the schedule ahead. And we'll also pick our three stars. How do you feel about your three stars this week?
I'm cautiously optimistic.
Because last week you were cocky, and then mine were better.
Yours were better.
I know. All right. Cue the music.
And they're all coming off. Both benches are empty. And we're going to have a Donnybrook right down below us here as both benches empty.
All right, so this is 5 minutes for fighting, although today, no fighting, we're cheating, and going with one of our own contributors and a Habs fan, talking with Steph Darwish. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm very good, thanks. I'm in a very good mood after a win last night, most convincing of the season, I'd say.
I know, and I was just thinking to myself, I don't think Carey Price is ever going to get a shutout.
It's Carey Price. There's no need to worry.
I know. It just seemed like it was always that one goal, you know?
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's find out a little bit about you for our readers and our listeners. I know I asked you to come and help with the Montreal Bias because I've been reading your site, ladyloveshockey.com, for a little while, and I liked what you were writing. So how'd you start blocking?
Well, there was no real situation that forced me into it. I have a degree in journalism, and I don't work in journalism. I work in marketing and communications, and yeah. I guess I really just missed that creative outlet. And I guess you write what you know best, and the only thing I really know anything about is the Habs.
Well, I'll vouch for that. You definitely know your stuff, and we're very excited when you decided to come join us and write a little bit. Let's reflect on the game last night. Where do you think of the Habs right now?
Sorry, what was that?
What do you think of the Habs season now that they're a 7-2-1 over the last 10? They seem to have turned things around. Where are you feeling it's going?
I'm feeling much, you know what, I'm feeling way, way better than I was in early to mid-October. I'm actually very surprised how quickly they were able to turn around. I thought this was going to be a New Jersey Devils of this year where there was just no hope. It would just be so bad for so long, but
and then,
I don't know. They've turned around quickly, actually.
Are you convinced? Does it seem like the 7-2-1 team is the real team?
No, they are, will always be a 500 team, I feel. I don't think, and that's fine. If they're going to make the playoffs, that's fine, because I'm also a believer that once you make the playoffs, almost anything can happen.
Yeah.
But are we like a Pittsburgh now? No. We just don't have, I feel like we're missing that one extra little oomph to make it a really strong team.
Yeah, I agree with you, actually. All right, let's see what we can find out about you. We've got a little 10 questions here.
Oh, okay.
And it's kind of our, what James Lipton used to do there. We've been given these questions to the bloggers for other sites that have come on, and so now we're going to see if it can give us a better picture of who you are. You ready?
Okay, I'm excited. All right.
Number one, your favorite player growing up?
Oh, Patrick Roy, without a doubt.
That's a pretty decent blanket answer for Montreal fans from that era.
Yeah, he was my idol. I even made my mom drive with me to his house in Île-du-Zard to give him a Valentine's Day card.
No way.
Yeah, he wasn't there, but I left it for him. I was like 7 years old.
I love that. Wait, so how did you react when he got traded?
You know, when he got traded, I must have been 16, 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So my heart wasn't in it like it used to be. I was really disappointed because he was my guy. But, I mean, it wasn't as disappointing as it should have been.
It didn't ruin you.
It was a lull in my Habs fandom, I guess you could say.
Okay, and I remember I didn't follow hockey as close when I was a kid at all, but I remember that happening, obviously, and I went over to one of my friend's house, and he had a big Patrick Roy poster, and he had just written in giant black marker, why, right across it.
That's very intense.
It stayed up for, like, that poster stayed up for years after. It was a constant reminder.
Oh, man, yeah, it was, poor guy.
Would you want to see him coach?
No.
No, me neither.
He's like the other spectrum of emotion that I'm not ready for.
Yeah, I think it'd be our hearts would be ripped in the opposites if we got him next.
I
need like a cool in between. All right, question number two: your favorite player currently in the league?
Oh, easy. Also, Thomas Pekanic. Oh, in the league?
In the league, yeah.
Oh, in the league. That's a tough one.
You can choose one of the Habs.
I can choose one. Okay, if I was going to choose a Hab, I'd say Thomas Pekanic. But in the league, maybe we have to say someone like... I'm a little bit of a San Jose Sharks fan, too. I really like Ryan Clough. I know he's not a big name, but I like him.
I like that call. That's a good one. All right, number three. The best move the Habs have made in the past 5 years.
Oh, I think this is also easy and probably a common one. I'd say the Craig Rivé to San Jose.
Yeah.
For what ended up being... Yeah, Max Pacioretty and George's, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the correct answer. That would be my answer, so it's the correct answer.
I think it's the only answer.
Well, I know some people would say maybe the Camilleri signing.
Okay.
And there's,
oh, yeah, okay.
There's also the non-move of not trading Price and trading Halak. I like that one as well.
You're right, actually. Okay. I guess if I broaden my horizons, yeah.
But I'm still agreeing with you, your answer being the best one.
Pacioretty and George's.
Yeah, exactly. Hard to argue. The worst move the Habs have made in the past 5 years?
Trading away every single third or fourth line center. Dominic Moore, Metropolis, Halpern, all of them. Why'd they all let them go?
Worse than Gomez?
Gomez. He's still on the team?
That's just, that one's so big and broad and no one even thinks about it. It's just like a given. Yeah, that's a bad deal.
Yeah, Gomez. Okay, you're right. Sadly, Gomez. I really had high hopes for him.
Oh, me too. I'm glad you went outside the box. So the Gomez answer's too easy.
Right.
All right. Who's the most overrated player in the NHL?
Right now?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Nugent Hopkins just because he's a rookie and everyone seems to be fawning over him and he's only played like 15 games in his life, so a little overrated right now.
You're not loving the Nuge.
I know. And I'm going to get a lot of hate for it, but it's just because, I don't know, he's just a kid still, so maybe he needs, I'd say give him a season and then I'll give him that kind of respect, I guess.
I like what you did there. You went with the wording of the question, overrated.
Yes.
That's the journalist in you right there, picking out the what the word really means. All right. The best jersey/logo combo in the NHL?
I do love the Rangers jerseys.
Thank you. I really like
the Rangers jerseys. Yeah, especially those dark blue ones that you wear sometimes, you know?
I always say that one, and people aren't as keen with that one.
Oh, really? It's a really beautiful color combination.
Exactly, and it's got a very classic look. Yes, I'm with you on that one.
No, I totally. And I remember when we played the Rangers earlier this season, and they were wearing the darker one. I was like, "Yeah, that's a nice jersey."
Yep, I said the same thing. I'm glad someone's on my page because it's usually.
Oh, we think alike.
The answers I've seen so far. Well, the Blackhawks are overwhelming favorites, actually.
Oh, I know.
What do we got next? All right, I have a Sens written in here. If I say that at any point, no, I mean Habs, because this is from our last one that I did with one of the Sens blockers. So which Hab does the league not know about and should? Who's our biggest secret, I guess, would be the question.
Our biggest secret? That's a hard one, actually. Let me go through them in my head here quickly.
You can do it out loud for us.
I'm trying to think on defense who maybe, because there's a lot of young guys on defense who'd be a secret nobody knows about, but no one's totally impressing me. Maybe, you know what, maybe Lars Eller? Can I say Lars Eller? Is he getting a lot of...
Yeah.
Play in the media? Because I think he's going to be very good.
I agree. Because I wasn't sold on Eller, I thought he'd be a third line center, and which, you know, there's nothing wrong with having that on the team. And But I've been quite impressed with what he's done this season. And
Compared to last year?
Oh, yeah. You can tell he was young. I mean, that much was obvious last year. He was young. But this year, the stats aren't quite there. The numbers aren't quite there yet for him. But you can see the talents there.
And he's strong. He looks strong to me. I like that strength he has.
Yeah, I know. Him and Cole on a combo maybe by next season could be a very good line.
Yeah, I'm liking that. I like what you say.
All right. Number eight. Realistically.
Yes.
When do you see the next time the Habs actually have a shot at the Cup? What season would you see in the future being a contender?
I don't know. I feel like we're perpetually stuck in a rut. I don't have any high hopes in the near future. Because it seems that the only way you can actually, and I hate this about the draft, and if you ever wanted me to go on a tangent about the way the draft is done, I could. But the only way you can win a Stanley Cup is by sucking for 2 to 3 years in a row.
Yeah, I think Edmonton's
true. Because then you're only, that's how you're going to get your top players. So
no.
I guess, I don't know. Never really.
That's so pessimistic.
I know, because I don't ever want them to be on the bottom. So.
I just talked to the Senators fan I talked to. He gave him like 5 seasons to get back
five
there.
5 seasons, wow.
Yeah.
Very optimistic.
And here you are, just no, never. They're never going to win again.
Well, unless we, like, because we need those top picks. Like, look at Edmonton. Edmonton's now the Chicago of like 3 years ago.
Yeah, I know. They look like they're in the exact same place.
Yeah, and it's annoying because they're only there because they were so bad for so long.
Okay, but considering the fact that we've basically been a 9-6 team for the past 5 years.
Yeah.
They've drafted some good players. And I mean, look at the young guys on the team right now. Eller was dealt for, granted, but that came from Halak, who they drafted. Carey Price, P.K. Subban, Max Pacioretty. There's a young core to build there. I don't know. If you draft smart enough, you don't necessarily have to tank it, I don't think.
Okay, yeah.
Am I dreaming?
Core. Oh, sorry?
I say, am I dreaming? Am I out of touch
too
much?
No, you're not dreaming. We do have a good young core, but there's not that star player that'll be like, and now we will advance to the next round and just carry us, you know?
Yeah, that's fair.
They're all just good complement team players, and they're all very good. Like, Pacioretty, I think he's going to be amazing, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. You look around and like they have like top three first picks in their lineup right now, and that's crazy.
Are you not giving Carey Price the chance that maybe he can have one of those seasons where he pretty much does it on his own?
Okay, maybe. Yeah, it's true.
I'm just trying to give you some hope. That's all I'm trying to do.
Yeah, I think you're making me feel better about my life, actually.
Well, that's good. About your life, not just about the Habs. All right, good. All right.
Yeah, I guess if you have one of those playoff runs where it's all the goalie.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I didn't think Boston was going to win the Stanley Cup last year. That was crazy that they won the Stanley Cup. I can't believe they won the Stanley Cup.
I don't think they
could.
So,
I don't know. They get on a good run, it could be this year. But if it's just based on stats and paper, then not for a while.
So you've given us as answers now, could be this year, probably never. All right. There's a half
somewhere in between.
Somewhere between those two. All right, number 9. You can see a game live in any arena in the NHL, obviously, besides Montreal. Which is it?
Yeah. Oh, I think, because my second favorite team is probably the Sharks. I'd love to see a game in San Jose.
Plus, that's not a bad trip out there.
Pardon?
I say, plus, it's not a bad trip out there. Spend a few days in San Jose.
Exactly, it'll be good weather. And it looks like a nice rink.
Yeah, it does.
It's lively in there.
They get good atmosphere.
Yeah. No, I totally, I'd watch the San Jose-Montreal game in San Jose.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'd like to, if I can find a way there.
All right, and finally, I think this is number 10. Favorite NHL writer, blogger, anybody out there right now?
You know what? I love all of Puck Daddy.
Yeah.
All of it. I don't know who writes individual articles. I don't pay attention to that. But it's probably my favorite blog to read, and I'll read it daily several times a day to my employer's chagrin.
<You're> one- We won't mention that.
Good, thanks.
Just make sure they don't listen. We'll keep it quiet.
Yeah, I won't tell them about it.
All right, those are the 10. How did you think went?
All right.
You thought it went all right?
Pardon?
I say, how do you think that went?
Oh, I think that went very well. I like 10 questions.
All right, good stuff. So tonight they're taking on the Islanders, Budais and Nets. I'm actually headed out to a concert and I'm going to PVR it because I don't really need
Me
to see
too,
that
I'm
one live.
PVRing it.
Are you? It's, see?
Yeah, because I have dinner plans.
Well, there you are. It's Islanders, it's Habs. Sure, I like to watch every Habs game I can, but if you're gonna have plans for a night to maybe watch the game not live, I'd say it's this one.
Yeah, I agree with you. That or a Devils game.
Oh, God. Those I've made plans just to avoid. I took my youngest sister the first 2 times I took her to Montreal to the Bell Centre to see a game. Both times it was on a Sunday afternoon because she was younger and it was easier to do it that way. Both times was against New Jersey. And so she went to 2+ games before ever having... The Habs were shut out both times. Finally, the third game I took her to, they won 6-5 in a shootout. But
My God, the poor thing. I can't believe you got her to a third game.
I was like, what am I doing? You can't go against New Jersey. That's not the game to like act like, oh, the Bell Center is going to be amazing. Wait till they score, because it's not going to happen.
It's the worst. Honestly, New Jersey games are the worst.
Yeah, no, they
definitely are. And I feel like I've seen them the most, too, because they're the easiest tickets to get.
No kidding.
Anyway.
All right, one more thing before I let you off the hook.
Yes.
You said, don't get me started on the whole having to be a terrible team to get decent draft picks for a few years. I want to get you started on that. I want to get an article from you on that.
Okay, yeah, I will, because it's
dive
it's
into
really,
a rant. I can tell it's burning right there.
It is. I'm really, like, it makes me crazy. In a nutshell, basically, I think the first round should be completely lottery, and then last team gets first pick and second round. You do the order there.
I like that.
But I like that.
Yeah, I haven't thought
of that. It's not fair otherwise.
I like that because I was thinking about doing this article for the last couple weeks, but I really had no suggestions as to how to fix it. You've got one. I'd say run with it.
All right. I'm going to.
All right. Perfect. And one more. Can we have you on again?
Yes, I'd love to.
All right. Good. We'll have you on. Maybe we'll make you a regular on the podcast.
Oh, I'd be so honored.
All right. I think we're going to have to do that. You sounded good enough. No, it was great. Fantastic stuff.
Okay, thanks, Zach.
Your site, before I let go, your site, ladylovehockey.com, and
that's
of course,
great.
Regular contributor to the Montreal Bias.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks. Have a good one.
Bye.
I don't know what we finished with there, but it was probably funny.
No, I would assume so.
That was my fake laugh.
Convincing.
Thank you. I did do some drama in high school. let's take a look at the week ahead before we pick our three stars. What's on the schedule?
On the schedule? So depending when you upload this and listen to it.
Which should be minutes after we put it out there.
Yeah, exactly. So
RSS feed that.
I'm sorry?
I said they need to RSS feed that.
They do.
By the way, our logo's up on the iTunes now.
Looking pretty snazzy.
I know.
So, yeah, depending when you listen to this, and hopefully it's before tomorrow night's game, back-to-back games for the Habs. They're going from Montreal, flying to Long Island, taking on the Islanders.
Mm-hmm.
They're staying in the town so nice they named it twice. Saturday night, Hockey Night in Canada against the Rangers. And then the big one next Monday night, the Boston Bruins are in town.
How many points you give them over that stretch?
Ugh.
7-2-1 since Pern.
Yeah.
The PP era.
I'd be happy with 3 points out of that, to be honest with you.
You'd be happy out of three?
Actually, you know what?
Come on, we beat Boston twice.
And correction, we are at New York Thursday. We're back home Saturday against the Rangers. So I just saw the two New York teams and figured it was two straight games in New York City, but that's not the case. It's at the Islanders, at home against the Rangers, at home against Boston.
And you're happy with three?
Yeah, I mean, we're hot, but so are the Rangers and so are the Bruins.
7-2-1, man.
Yeah,
I want two wins.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
All right. I just feel you're being pessimistic.
I think that's a tough stretch, and I'd take three at this point.
The Islanders are in the mix.
The Islanders are in the mix, but I can't, you know, Rangers and the Bruins, I can't imagine us winning both of those.
Here's a question Alex DeZan and I were debating while watching the game tonight. Do you start Peter Budaj tomorrow?
I think you have to.
But do you think they do?
I think they do.
I hope so.
He looked good against Nashville, for one. And, I mean, I don't think you have to. It's still early in the season. Price is young. He's a workhorse. But if like we said, I think last week, if you sign Budaj, use him. You got to use him for something, and these are the times you use him, when it's the second night of a back-to-back against a crappy team. It's a winnable game, even with Budaj in nets. Price played great tonight. He got the shutout, and I know maybe you want to reward him for that, but I think you give him the night off and have him rested to go up against King Henrik on Saturday.
Precisely. I think that, I mean, probably by the time people hear this, they'll know the answer, but I would feel you got to start Budaj tomorrow. And Boston, you don't feel good about Boston.
Well, we played them really well earlier this season.
But
and
they
we
are,
always
yeah, different
bring
teams.
Our A game, but they're on a roll, so.
All right. That's an interesting schedule ahead of us.
Yeah. And then it actually doesn't, if we, I mean, we'll be looking at this next week, but if we fast forward a little bit, After Boston, we rematch at Carolina next Wednesday, so that'll be interesting.
Okay.
And then we've got the two Pennsylvania teams back-to-back.
Ooh.
Philly and Pittsburgh Friday and Saturday.
I'm eyeballing that Pittsburgh game as maybe Markov.
Maybe Sydney as well.
Yeah, both of them are possible there.
You got to think, Hockey Night in Canada, primetime game at Montreal would be a pretty good time for him to make his return.
That'd be fun.
That'd be a lot of fun.
I hope that happens. All right, les trois étoiles.
Les trois étoiles.
Les trois étoiles. Les trois étoiles, oui.
I've got two habbies and one non-habby.
Same here.
The non-habby is the third star of the week, Shea Weber.
Really?
Yeah, it was just, you know, it was fun watching. Actually, it wasn't fun on watching Montreal play Nashville because that was a pretty boring game. But I don't get to watch Weber all that much besides the highlight packages. And he's one of my favorite defensemen in the league ever since he ripped that slap shot through the net in the Olympics. And he is great. Don't know if Nashville will be able to re-sign him now that they gave Rene that huge contract. But I think he was my preseason prediction to win the Norris Trophy this year. And we'll see how that holds up. But he's a heck of a defenseman.
And speaking of highlight packages, you should see the jeans I'm wearing right now. All right, number two. Drop your deuce on us.
Number two, David Desharnais, who that chippy little bastard had a couple more points the other night. Mm-hmm. And the guy is straight out of central casting. I don't know anyone couldn't like David Desharnais. He's 5'4". He's from Quebec, and he works his ass off every single shift. He's fan favorite written all over him, but he gets the job done. He's he's more than just a good story. He's a decent NHL player, and he had a couple points the other night, so he gets my second star.
And he's still playing the power play, and I like when he's on the power play. I like what he's able to do with that much open ice, and unlike Scott Gomez, who was getting rewarded with power play time for reasons I can't explain tonight, I'm with you. That's a good choice. That's a solid number two.
Yeah, he's more than just a feel-good story at this point. He's a legitimate forward. And my number one star, Max Pacioretty. We talked about him already, so I won't dwell on it, but he's been the Habs' best forward so far this season, and delivering on the promise that we saw last season before he got injured, and we're seeing why he was a first-round pick, and he's playing with a chip on his shoulder for sure. He's firing away like crazy, and he's been a lot of fun to watch.
It's a good top three. Good three stars. Not bad.
Thank you.
All right. You want mine?
If you insist.
Are you ready for this jelly? Number three. I know he hasn't played in a few days, but my number three is Ryan Miller. And here's why. A, because I liked when he stuck around the locker room and decided to call Milan Lucic a piece of shit. And B, because...
That was enjoyable.
As I posted earlier this evening, had you told me when we started the MontrealBias.com that about a month and a half into the season, one of the top search engine terms that would bring you to the site was Milan Lucic is a piece of shit, I'd feel very good about things. And this week, that happened.
Can't really ask for much more than that.
No, and I give that to Ryan Miller. Ryan Miller has made my dreams come true in terms of hating Milan Lucic, bringing people to the MontrealBias.com. So I feel good. That's why he gets my number three. Number two, Eric Cole, because he's looked like the guy I hoped we signed, and maybe even a little better. I think we omitted in our conversation about who's the best forward on the Habs right now. I think Eric Cole could have been mentioned in that conversation. I know he doesn't have the goals right now that Patches does, but I'd put him at least in that conversation. So Eric Cole is my number two. And also because tonight, he was trash-talking his former team in a pretty fun way. And thirdly, that's a really good mustache, right?
It's decent.
It's the best on the team, right?
I like Carey's.
Carey's is, I feel that that's worthy of conversation, but I think Cole pulls it off the best.
That's fair. I think we should probably have a forum on this on the website about who has the best Movember mustache.
It's going to happen. That was me slapping the table, making it happen. And number one is the consensus pick this week. I'm with Patches. I mean, that goal against Nashville. Come on. You can speak after my come on.
I'd prefer if I didn't.
Okay. So there you go. Three stars.
There we go. You got what you got coming up on the site?
Nothing. No, I've got a piece. Well, I've got obviously. Yeah, that's enough. I told you about the Lucic thing. I've reached my goal, and I'm going to mail it in the rest of the way. I like to call that Gomezing. No, I've got obviously. What the hell happened? Will be up on Sunday. So, in case you have a real life and don't need to read everything on the Habs all week, read what the hell happened, and you'll find out what the hell happened all week long. So, I've got that, and I've got an article probably within the week about. Why Montreal loved Alex Kovalev so much. I'm going to expand on that theory a little bit. So that's what I got coming. What about you?
I can give you a million reasons why we loved Kovalev so much.
I know you
could,
but I was never in your camp, so I'm trying to explain it as a guy who enjoyed Kovalev but wasn't quite riding that train.
He was an artist, don't you know?
I do know.
What do I have coming up?
Your power rankings?
I'm sorry?
Power rankings?
Power rankings are coming up. The... long-anticipated, much-discussed power rankings will be making their debut. And besides that, we've had some fun this week with the...
Occupy.
The Occupy movement. Occupy Scott Gomez. And it's building up a lot of steam. I think the powers that be are starting to get nervous.
Okay.
And might see where we go with that. I think...
I was told if we don't get an injunction, we could be evacuated by... Evacuated is the wrong word, but... They could make us
move.
Yes, forcibly removed by Friday.
So yeah, Occupy Scott Gomez. The moment is upon us, and we'll see where we go with that. And beyond that, there's a couple things I'm tinkering with, but we'll see if they're up before next podcast.
All right, that'll do it. You did a
good
job.
That'll be fun.
You didn't swear this time, right? Well, you did, but you didn't drop the F bomb like last week.
Well, I've matured.
Good fucking job.
Thank you.
We're out.